next on NPR's From the Top. It's the showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country. And today, from Zellerbach Hall on the campus of the University of California, Berkeley, our lineup of outstanding musicians includes a 12-year-old pianist from Palo Alto playing Bach, the San Francisco Girls Chorus performing two settings of traditional folk songs, and, as you just heard, a new work by a 17-year-old composer from here in Berkeley. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston. Here's our host, renowned concert pianist Christopher O'Reilly.
Thank you. Thanks very much, and welcome, everybody. It's so fantastic to be with you here in Berkeley, just across the Bay Bridge from San Francisco, home of UC Berkeley, of course, one of America's greatest universities. But dearer to my heart, home of Chez Panisse, one of the greatest restaurants in the world. And the place where Alice Waters started California cuisine. Ah, California cuisine. California cuisine, the idea of cooking food that's in season and grown by small local producers. And we're going to take Alice Waters' philosophy to heart today on our show by featuring not only lots of local performers, but a musical composition that was homegrown right here in Berkeley. I also want to thank our very local host, Cal Performances, here at the University of California, Berkeley, for helping us put this show together. Some of our kids today do have a larger carbon footprint. It's true, they've been imported, but I think even you Berkeleyites will pardon that when you hear them play. So let's start things off with one of those imported performers, an amazing 16-year-old violinist who lives just across the border from Detroit in Canada, but who spends much of his time making music in this country. Please welcome Anthony Bracewell. Anthony, tell us about your American musical connections.
All right. Well, I live just about half an hour from Detroit, so I'm in the Detroit Symphony Civic Orchestra with Ken and with Bridget, who are also playing on the show today. Wow. But so I play there on every Saturday. I'm also in a chamber program over there also on Saturdays. My brother's in the jazz orchestra on Wednesdays, so I go over there on Wednesdays. So I'm there like a lot.
Nice.
And then every once a month I go down to Cleveland because I'm in a quartet down there. So
that's right, and we're going to hear your wonderful string quartet later on in the show, playing a piece by that local teenage composer I mentioned. But this is your time in the spotlight, my man. Tell everybody what you and I are going to play together.
We are going to play Introduction Ronco Precioso by Saint-Saëns.
Let's take it from the top.
Thank you.
Anthony Bracewell, 16-year-old violinist from Essex, Ontario. Well, that got us started off on the right foot, I think, Anthony. Beautifully done. Beautifully done, my friend. You are a recipient of one of our Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Awards. Congratulations on
that,
Anthony.
Thank you very
much. You know, Anthony, considering your mom, it's lucky you can play anything other than Broadway show tunes. This is what you really grew up with. This is, you know, your mother's milk, in other words, Broadway show tunes.
Yeah, she's a nut when it comes to that stuff.
Even before you could remember, you were hearing show tunes.
Yeah, what happened was, when my mom was pregnant, she went and saw her first musical, and that's kind of what started it. She went and saw Phantom of the Opera, and so she went, yeah, I know. And then she went and brought home the CD, and that's all she listened to, apparently, till I was, like, born, apparently.
You're banging on the walls.
Oh, yeah, I was like, please stop.
The uterine walls, as it were, but,
yeah,
you know, other than that.
Yeah, yeah.
So I can see where you get your obsessive musical drive from your mom, and you've been very close to her, particularly, I mean, your dad died when you were how old?
I was 10.
That's pretty hard. It must have been pretty hard. But you do remember your dad.
Yeah, oh, yeah. He was amazing. So, I mean, we were all very, very close, and, I mean, I was homeschooled before he died, so I always saw him. And so, I mean, we're really, really tight.
But you were saying that going through the death of your father has sort of deepened your relationship with music. How so?
Yeah. Well, I mean, anytime you go through certain, you know, anytime you go through a traumatic situation, it changes your perspective about most things. And music, I felt like when I was really sad or really depressed, I could go to music and kind of hide in music. I mean, when I play music now, the sad parts are a lot sadder, but the happier parts are also a lot happier.
It's a very good thing. It's not surprising to me that you could see both the good and bad in that tragedy. You're naturally a positive and exuberant person, and you have an exuberant, all-encompassing approach to music. What other kinds of things do you do?
Well, I mean, apart from classical, I play guitar. I play jazz guitar, rock guitar, classical guitar, right. Piano, jazz piano, blues piano, classical piano, bass, jazz violin, blues, rock, AC/DC, Led Zeppelin, all that stuff. So
that's about all there is, my friend. Yeah. And singing as well. I mean, your singing is quite famous, at least particularly in the emerging ringtone market. Is that what I hear?
Apparently. I say that apparently. Yeah. Because I mean, okay. Car rides to Cleveland are pretty long, yeah. And there's nothing to do. So Ken's mom has a cell phone, and you can record on it. And when I found that out, we went crazy. We made a whole bunch, and I mean, yeah. I mean, they're not good or anything, but something to do, right?
Well, thanks for the big build-up, because we're going to have to hear one of your ringtones now. This is what Ken, the cellist in your quartet, hears when someone calls him.
Hello, I just thought I'd say that you're looking very fine today, but your phone is ringing, so you better answer it.
Yeah.
That's
sorry.
That's annoying. Now, Ken, your cellist, is going to be out here later on, along with the other members of your great string quartet, to join you to play a piece by the 17-year-old composer on today's show. We're going to look forward to that. Meanwhile, a great honor to have you on the program, Anthony.
Thank you.
A great pleasure playing with you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Anthony Bracewell, 16-year-old violinist from Essex, Ontario.
Listen to From the Top on demand and watch exclusive videos at fromthetop.npr.org. From the Top is made possible in part by the Jack Kent Cook Foundation, advancing the education of students of exceptional promise who have financial need. On the web at jackkentcookfoundation.org, and that's Cook with an E. Chris.
Thanks, Joanne. Our second performer is a wonderful and very young pianist from down the road in Palo Alto, and she's standing next to me on stage right now. Her name is Hilda Huang. Hilda, welcome. You're the first 12-year-old Bach expert I've met, and we're going to talk about that after you play. But first, let's hear you. Tell everybody what you're going to play for us.
So I'm going to play the contrapuntis numbers 1 and 9, A4 alla duodecima from The Art of Fugue by Bach.
Yay.
Thank you.
Hilda Huang, 12-year-old pianist from Palo Alto, California. Beautiful. Hilda, you're my favorite Bach player of any age. I just gotta say it. Just go
thanks.
On record. I just love it.
Thanks.
You know, a lot of younger pianists like the showier music, like Liszt and Rachmaninoff and things like that. You frown when you hear those names.
No.
They're not evil.
I have braces.
But but you love Bach. Why?
I guess it's just a lot more analytical. Like, a lot of times you have to really understand the music, like, in order to really play it right. And mm-hmm. a lot of times with Bach, there's, like, a lot of really tricky, like, quick, like, catches. In the, mm-hmm. So, like, if you make a mistake, it's really hard to get on again, like, a lot of times. But I just think it uses a different part of the brain. I don't know. Well, don't ask me. I'm not a neurologist.
Well, no, but you point up... You point up a lot of the things that people find demanding about Bach, the fact that it's analytical and the fact that it's very demanding on your memory. And as you say, you have to understand it. You can't just feel it like you do with Liszt or something like that. You have to really know it from the inside out. I mean, you really have to sort of, you could probably write those contrapuntuses down from memory.
Partially.
Yeah, but there's the whole issue of Bach deciding which voice to bring out. We talk about voices a lot in Bach, but explain to everybody. I mean, play the first line, the first voice of the contrapuntist number 9.
So pretty much a voice is just like one section of a fugue, and the fugues usually have four sections, and they're usually like different threads, and they're like weaving together, so you get a piece of cloth. But like, for example, in the second piece that I played, for example, like the first fugue, like, subject and the first voice would be, like, in the beginning,
So when you practice that, are you actually practicing all the voices, you know, as they come in, or are you practicing one voice, one thread separately and then moving on, or...?
Well, I mean, sometimes if you're practicing for, like, different purposes, mm-hmm. like, if you really need to get a voice and you're always missing something, I mean, it's much better to practice them separately, because then you actually, like, know them better separately. But let's say you're trying to just, like, bring out one voice. You can't exactly do that when you're only playing one voice.
Right.
Since there's only one thing to bring out.
Yeah.
So you kind of have to put them together. But you don't have to necessarily put all of them together. You can put a few of them together just to get how it feels. And
It is very, very helpful to play them separately and then put them back together. It's almost like splitting your brain in half or in thirds or in fourths as it happens. And then putting it together. But for instance, like... What happens, I mean, you know, the decisions that get made once you know all of those voices about which voice to bring out. Like, let's say, you know, that we heard that opening fugue subject of the contrapuntist number 9.
Yeah.
Let's say that when the second voice comes in, the first voice doesn't give up, doesn't cede the floor to the oncoming voice. Let's let the first voice keep the stage, as it were. How's that work? Yeah, it sounds... Reminds me of a couple of chamber music players that I've been playing with from time to time. Don't get out of the way when it's my turn. But that's amazing that you can do that. And so then you decide, you know, which voice is more important.
And often if one voice has, like, the subject, then you'll bring that one out more because it's much more important.
But you know what I love about your Bach playing is it's, you know, it's not the analytical aspect so much or how disciplined you are in your playing of it, but there's a great amount of joy in your playing of Bach that I just love. It's just great. But quite frankly, I just love hearing you play the piano, and I hope you stick with it. And thank you so much for bringing this beautiful Bach to us.
Thank you.
Thank you, Hilda. Hilda Huang, 12-year-old pianist from Palo Alto, California. Our third young performer is an 18-year-old bassoonist from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. Actually, she plays in the same youth orchestra of the Detroit Symphony with our friend Anthony Bracewell. Please welcome Bridget Babish. Bridget, welcome. I love the candid way you have of describing the character of the music we're about to play.
Well, one may consider the music to be a bit on the dorky side.
Dorky, that's nice. But it also is, you know, sort of funny. I mean, but dorky is sort of underrated, I think, as a description. Tell everybody what it is we're going to play.
Well, we will be playing the Rondo from Carl Maria von Weber's Andante in Hungarian Rondo.
Thank you.
Bridget Babish, 18-year-old bassoonist from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, playing Weber. But it's a very proud piece.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, part of the dorkiness, you got to admit, the bassoon, the clown of the orchestra, isn't it part of the character of the instrument?
Well, yeah, I guess, but the bassoon has some daintiness to it also.
Some daintiness?
Yes.
And some menace as well. The opening of the Rite of Spring is
yeah,
not exactly,
exactly
a clown opening.
Yes, it can be quite the moody instrument. So.
Right, the contrabassoon, beginning of the left-hand mm-hmm. Ravel concerto. So
mm-hmm,
you've got a world of stuff to do.
Yeah. And
it's amazing how good you are at the bassoon, considering that practicing at your house be sort of a challenge. What sort of distractions are we dealing with here?
Well, I have a father who loves trains. He loves them so much to the point where trains go through our backyard. And yes, every time it happens, the house actually shakes. And well, for some background, anybody who starts to play the bassoon has this period of time where they sound like a dying animal. And my family thought it would be best for their own sanity if I practice in the basement. And my dad's toy trains are in the basement. In fact, the entire basement is a replica of the Detroit railroad system from 1953. And so wow. It's almost like I'm Godzilla or something, with like all these tiny trains all around me, and I'm practicing down there. And so, yes, my dad is the ultimate rail fan, and all the trains sometimes get in the way.
Besides trains, there's another backyard event you enjoy.
Oh, yes. I love playing hockey. And every winter, my father and I, we always build an ice rink in our yard. And since this is my last year at home, because I'm going to be going off to college, we thought that we should really take advantage of it. So after doing my homework every night, I would always try to go out and play a game of hockey with him until audition season hit. And then I didn't leave my basement. But When we were playing, it was so much fun, and then I would have hockey tournaments with my neighbors and all my friends, and it was just something I'll never forget.
I'm sure the neighbor kids won't forget it either. I mean,
no.
you've been skating since before you could walk, right?
Well, but, yeah, when I learned how to walk.
Yeah, but your friends in the neighborhood probably haven't played as often
no.
or as well as you and your father?
No, and we'd actually have themed hockey tournaments, like Pirates versus Ninjas, and there's nothing funnier than looking out in your yard and seeing a bunch of kids who really don't know how to skate dressed up like pirates kind of flying around the rink. But it's always a load of fun.
Always fun. Well, fun for you anyway.
Yeah.
It's not just goofing off with Dad. He can be pretty demanding, too. Talk about the whole Cranbrook thing, Cranbrook School.
Well, yes, I go to Cranbrook Kingswood High School, and it's just a school in the Detroit area, and it's a private school. And my parents were all like, no way, it's too expensive. But they decided, since I wouldn't stop annoying them, they decided to challenge me and say if I could raise half of tuition, I would be able to go there. And so as a little determined middle schooler, I went online and looked at all of their scholarships, and the only one that I could apply for was actually a music scholarship. And
they didn't
have
a hockey scholarship at Cranbrook?
No, but I had just started playing bassoon. I was still in that dying animal phase, and it was a long shot, and I decided it's my only chance, so I might as well try. And I practiced, and the day of the audition came and went, and I got a phone call saying, you didn't get it. And it was
bummer.
Kind of disheartening, but then we got another phone call saying, oh, we liked you enough that we're going to institute a brand new scholarship in your name for you to attend the school. So
wow.
It's been it's been the most amazing 4 years, and I'll never forget it. It's my favorite place in the world.
It's just great. I love that story. What a real achievement for you. But I've also got to give props to your dad. I mean, he's obviously an excellent father. One should say a model father. Don't you think so, Joanne?
Exemplary.
Setting the bar high, but being there for you too, having fun with you. I mean, the hockey rink story is so great.
And so,
when we come across a dad like this, we just have to stop everything and announce to the world that he's From the Top's Father of the Year.
Loving husband, father of three, train enthusiast. 54-year-old Byron Babish, Dad, married his high school sweetheart Elaine and went on to receive a law degree from the University of Detroit Mercy. Now a successful corporate lawyer, Byron is an exceptional father outside the office, tapping trees with his children to make maple syrup, helping his son restore vintage taxicabs, and embarrassing his daughter by playing with her in the same community orchestra. His parenting style? Playful, intense, but not overly meddling. He's an almost perfect dad.
And we actually have Byron Babish on the phone from Michigan. Byron, did you hear all that?
I heard all that, Chris. I'm honored.
I did.
Must feel very honored.
Hi, Bridget.
Now, but Byron, we said almost perfect. Your daughter deserves an award for tolerance. She's letting you play in her orchestra.
Yeah, that's been a lot of fun. That was certainly, you know, one of the things that Bridget led the way on and got me involved in this community orchestra. And I haven't played violin in 20 years and started picking it up again and driving together with her and playing with her. That was certainly a highlight that she led the way on.
What's it like, Bridget, having your dad in the orchestra?
Well, we had some trouble with practicing because he would practice more than I would, and he wouldn't let me practice because he was practicing. And so there'd be this, but Dad, I'm playing a concerto. And it's like, no, I'm playing second violin. And, well, when the concerto came and went, my brother was cameraing it, and I was watching the video, and the camera was on my dad the entire time. And I was like, wait a second, what's going on here? And the only comment my sister had was, why is his bow always going the opposite way from everybody else's? But it's been a lot of fun. I've always wished somebody in my family would be in an orchestra with me, and I was thinking of my brother and my sister, but yeah. I never knew it would be my dad, so.
Sounds like it worked out pretty mm-hmm, well. Mm-hmm. And a maverick with his bowing style. That's great. An individualist. Well, actually, Byron, you do sound like a great dad. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you, Chris.
And thank you, Bridget, for this wonderfully dorky, really a beautiful Carl-Marie von Weber. The Rondo was beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Thanks so much.
Bye, Dad.
Bridget Babish, 18-year-old bassoonist from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan.
Support for NPR comes from Liberty Mutual, sponsor of From the Top at Carnegie Hall, on PBS stations all around the country. Liberty Mutual Insurance. Responsibility. What's your policy? From the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, dedicated to the idea that all people deserve the chance to live a healthy, productive life. Details are at gatesfoundation.org. From the Gruber Family Foundation for support of NPR's international coverage. And from NPR stations. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
Welcome back to the Radio Showcase for the best young classical musicians in the country, From the Top. This week we're broadcasting from Zellerbach Hall on the campus of the University of California, Berkeley. Coming up, one of the country's greatest youth choirs, the San Francisco Girls Chorus, joins us to perform two settings of folk songs. From the Top's home is New England Conservatory's Jordan Hall in Boston, where talented young musicians are creating a new century of musical excellence. Today's show for Cal Performances at the University of California, Berkeley, is co-sponsored by Classical 102.1, KDFC. Here again is Christopher O'Reilly.
Thanks, Joanne. One of the great things we do occasionally on this show is featuring young people who are writing exciting new music. 17-year-old composer up next, Preben Antonsen, is one of those kids who is already writing the concert music of the future, while, like all composers of the past, drawing musical influences from the surrounding popular culture. Preben's composition is for string quartet, and it's called Camouflage. Yesterday, he met and rehearsed with the teenagers who are going to play it.
Have you guys met Preben?
In the hotel lobby.
Okay, so let's run it.
I wrote Camouflage at the Yellow Barn Young Artists Program, but the program's only 18 days long, and they have to have time to rehearse and perform it also. So I basically had to write it quickly. It made me really focus on the piece 100%, so I dreamed about it, and when I ate, I thought about it. So I was basically always composing.
Can we try that again?
Yeah. How is
it? I think of these kind of like snapping twigs in the jungle, so
maybe like not that.
This string quartet, Camouflage, is partially inspired by a rap song, also called Camouflage, by the rap duo Swollen Members. I've actually played some of my friends who've heard my piece, the song, and they can't find any similarities at all, even when I tell them and assure them that they're there. But I feel like the mood I'm trying to evoke is roughly the same. The song lyrics are talking about being in the jungle and being motionless and kind of getting in touch with your primitive instincts.
We act on animal instinct, survival of the primitive, invade your camp, then set up a perimeter, interrogate the prisoner.
Most people who like rap for more than just its entertainment value, but its artistic value, will focus on the words and the lyrics. But I am particularly interested in the musical aspects of the productions. The main thing I like about rap is all the different sounds and the sort of variety and control producers have over the sounds, from the drum samples to the scratching to the voices themselves. It seems like they're very concerned with the layers, and that's something that classical music often leaves unexplored and something that really intrigues me. That's my goal as a composer. I'm interested in making classical music have a broader audience, particularly the youth, turn it into less of an elitist thing by welcoming and encouraging influence from popular music, and almost being commercial in the sense of, like, what will people like, which is never what classical music has been about. I mean, yeah, I think there's nothing wrong with writing music for yourself, but even if it's really good and trained musicians might really love it, you're not really contributing anything to the real world.
Now, please welcome our eloquent young composer from here in Berkeley, Preben Antonsen. Preben, first I want to mention that you'll be participating in our Young Composer Project, which means we'll be setting you up with a prominent composer for a mentoring session. But for you, that's almost redundant. You're already studying with the wonderful Bay Area composer, one of our nation's greatest composers, John Adams. I'm totally with you about the textural aspects of rap and how that's so rich musically. Have you shared your love of rap with John?
Yeah, I have. He was not as opposed to it as I thought he would be. He said he's interested, but hasn't really gotten into it. He said, "I'm just lazy." But he did tell me to make him a CD, so that'll be kind of a challenge. What rap songs to pick for John Adams?
Yeah.
Well, interesting project.
We want to get to your music, so let's meet the teenage quartet we just heard rehearsing your wonderful composition. They are the Viaggio Quartet, and we heard one of the violinists from the group, 16-year-old Anthony Bracewell, playing to start off our show. The other violinist, actually playing first on Preben's piece, is Eric Grotz, 17 years old, from Shaker Heights, Ohio. The violist is 18. Represent Shaker Heights. Violist is 18-year-old Stephanie Price from Worthington, Ohio, and the cellist is 16-year-old Ken Kubota from Troy, Michigan. These guys just won the St. Paul String Quartet competition. Congratulations. Ken is with us at the mic for a moment. Ken, welcome. Four players from four cities in three states, or provinces if you would have it, and two countries. How do you guys rehearse?
Well, Eric doesn't really have to do anything. He just stays put in Cleveland, and
we
all have to come.
Mountain goes to Muhammad, I guess. Yeah.
I guess so, man. Yeah. So Stephanie would drive north, and Anthony and I, since we live pretty close to each other, we carpool down there, and you would think the car ride would kind of get boring after a while, but Anthony, highly entertaining guy, as you saw in the ringtones, and so yeah, you never get bored, and once you get to Cleveland, we pretty much rehearse until we drop, as it happened to our violist on one occasion.
Yeah.
See, just pretty much dropped during a rehearsal and stopped playing, and we're like, one down, three to go. So yeah, that's pretty much a rehearsal schedule every time we get to meet.
The hard
usually
work.
Once or twice a month.
hard work pays off.
I guess
so. You guys
so.
Sound
yeah.
really great, and congratulations again about
Thank
that
you.
Big win.
Thank you.
Well, let's hear this piece. Preben, why don't you have a seat in the from the top hot tub here on stage while the four take the stage. This is Camouflage by Preben Antonsen. Camouflage by our 17-year-old composer from here in Berkeley, Preben Antonsen, and performed by Viaggio String Quartet, ages 16 to 18. We want to especially thank Annie Fillard and Debbie Price for coaching the quartet on Craven's piece.
Podcasts of From the Top are available every week at fromthetop.npr.org. Each year, From the Top and the Jack Kent Cook Foundation present 25 performers of exceptional musical ability, outstanding academic potential, and financial need with the $10,000 Jack Kent Cook Young Artist Award. Learn more at fromthetop.org. Chris.
Now let's bring out our big local finish. One of the best girls' choirs in America, the San Francisco Girls' Chorus, directed by Susan McMain. Susan, would you introduce the two settings you're going to perform?
Yes, they're both folk songs. The first is an English folk song arranged by Michael Neum, and it is called The Water of Tyne. And the second is a French-Canadian folk song arranged by Donald Patriquin, and it's called Ah si mon moine voulait danser. And it means roughly, if my monk would only dance with me.
And your accompanist is Susan Soner. This will be a great way to end our Berkeley show today. I want to thank all of our great young performers and thank you all for listening. This is Christopher O'Reilly. Please join me next week. And Susan, you and the San Francisco Girls Chorus can take it from the top.
Je lui donnerai, dansez-moi, moi, ça, c'est une danse.
From the Top is written and produced by Tom Vagley for Tom Vagley Productions, with Tim Banker for From the Top. Musical direction by Tom Vinieri with Caroline Cardias-Menos. Our tour producer is David Balsam. Our production manager is Elizabeth DeVore, with lighting by Tori Sweetser. Technical direction by Barrett Willette, with Dan Hallis and John Servies. The executive producers are Gerald Slavitt and Jennifer Hurley-Wales. I'm Joanne Robinson. The segment about the rehearsal of Preben Anthonsen's piece was produced by Zoe Cornelli. From the Top is produced in association with WGBH Boston. Our home and educational partner is New England Conservatory in Boston. To download an application to appear in our program, visit fromthetop.org.